Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
In Leviticus 23:4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. Now, they're feasts of the Lord, holy days of Israel. We're in those right now, Elul, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. As I have taught many times through the years, all of the feasts of the Lord have great meaning between God and humanity, especially for the Jewish people. We know that God the Son, Jesus, gave real meaning and fulfillment to the types and shadows in the Old Testament feast and holy days. So although we are not bound legalistically to observe Jewish traditions, it is still good to understand and regard God the Father's original intent. So though we are Christians, it still seems the right thing to do to heed to God the Father's original times and seasons, to understand God's fullest intent behind all the appointed times, to regard, honor, commemorate, and respect these days in a special way, to draw close to God not only every day, but with special commemoration on the special holy days, the fall feast of the Lord, the high holy days of the Lord. We're in those right now. The month of Elul this year started sundown on August the 24th, and it began on August the 25th. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpet, Jewish New Year, one Tishrei. This year started sundown on September 22nd. That evening, then that next morning, we start celebrating Yom Kippur, the Great Day of Atonement, 10 Tishrei. This year started sundown on Tuesday, September the 23rd. Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, 15 Tishrei starts after that. The main Jewish calendar begins on Rosh Hashanah. In brief summary, Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. Literally means head Rosh of the turning, Shana, the turning of another year. But also the opportunity for each person to turn over a new leaf if needed on the new year's. Each person can make a choice to turn away from wrong into right, or turn away from right to the wrong thing. People do that. Things are going to turn one way or the other. All depends on what we do, okay? So Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be the day when God writes in his books his decree about each person for the following year because of what they have done in the 30 days of Elul and the 10 days leading up to Rosh Hashanah. You see? So he writes his decree, but still gives a little more time for repentance, just a little more, in case your repentance could change God's decree. Amen. When 10 days later on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, it is said that God seals his decree. The 10-day period is the high, high holy days. It's called the days of all, although the 40-day period is also referred to as the days of all, or the days of all. So the month of Elul usually takes place in August and September, like I said, is known as the season of Teshuvah. Teshuvah means to repent and return. Repent and return. Elul is the month where we are to return to our beloved God in everything, and he returns to us. Teshuvah, repent and return. Returning how? What if you haven't been praying and communing as you should? Return back to prayer. What if you haven't been musing and studying and looking in your Bible? Return back to that. You see what I'm saying? So returning to God is in different steps. But, you know, the big time is total return to him when you get born again and saved. But from there on out, you have to live in a state of improvement. Do you see what I'm saying? So as we humble ourselves and repent before God, our beloved, he returns to us with compassion and forgiveness. See that? Now, man of God Moses, on his sixth ascent up to God, one of the most famous instances that put the month of Elul on the map. The month of Elul all the way to Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, is a 40-day period that man of God Moses spent on Mount Sinai after the incident of the golden calf. It was a terrible sin and a terrible judgment. Well, even after all that happened, God tells man of God to come back up on top of the mountain in the morning for his sixth ascent. That morning was the first day of Elul. That morning was the first day of repent and return. Exodus 34, 1 through 4, and the Lord God said to Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. I will write upon these tables the words that were on the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, Elul 1, upon Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me in top of the mountain. No man shall come with thee, neither any man be seen throughout the mount, neither let no flocks or herds feed before the mount. And he hewed tables of stone like unto the first God did. And man of God Moses rose up in the morning, the first of Elul. He went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hands the tables of stones up to God, the first of Elul. You listening?
Yes, sir.
On the sixth ascent upon Mount Sinai, God the Father gives the second set of the Ten Commandments. It is also when man of God Moses stood in the cleft of the rock in Exodus 6. And God, he said, you get in the cleft of the rock, you can't see my front parts, but I'll show you my back parts, and I'll put my hand over my back parts, and I'll remove my hand just for a moment, and you'll see my back. Oh, I preached on that a whole bunch of times.
Yes, sir.
You can't see my face. I'll just let you see my, just for a moment. Take a peek and cover it back up.
Amen.
You see? So
it
shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He proclaimed Jehovah, the becoming Father. He proclaimed it to man of God Moses. Man of God Moses said, the I am, the one that be becomes, holy God, my God, he's the becoming Father. You hear? And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundance in goodness and truth. God proclaimed his name, the becoming Father, that God showed me in 1991, before man of God Moses. He's the first one that saw that. God told his character also. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7, and the Lord passed by, all barred before him, and proclaiming the Lord thy God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in truth and goodness, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, that he will by no means clear the guilty. But if you repent, visit then the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, to the fourth generation.
Yes, sir.
So, it's known as the 13 attributes of mercy. Mercy. Rechamim, it means mercy. These 13 attributes form a main part of a special Jewish service called Sellekot. Sellekot services are held before certain fast days and repenting, Sellekot, but especially through the month of Elul and from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, that 40 days, 30 days Elul, and 10 days later. Often these are midnight services where everyone is repenting. The 13 attributes of God's mercy are also recited at these services. Here are the 13 attributes broken down. You ready? Adonai, the Lord, am the compassionate source of all life. I'm the breath of life of all creation. That's the first one. Adonai, I, the Lord, am the compassionate to one who has sinned and repented. I'm the Lord, I'm compassionate to one who has sinned and repented. The third one, El. I'm the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent. Fourth one, Rakum. I, the Lord, am merciful. Five, Kenunan. I, the Lord, am gracious. I pour out my favor freely to all creation. Erka Yapayim. I, the Lord, am slow to anger and I'm patient. Ravi Kesed. I, the Lord, am abundant in love to both the righteous and the wicked. Ravi Min. I, the Lord, am truthful, faithful, and carrying out my promises. No Itzar Kesed Lakifim. I, the Lord, retain love for thousands of generations, taking into account the merits of our worthy ancestors. No Si Avon. I, the Lord, forgive iniquity, defined as wrongful deeds committed with premeditation, I carry iniquity away. Even premeditated sin, I'll even carry it away if you repent. Nosia, Pisha, I, the Lord, forgive transgression defined as wrongful deeds committed in a rebellious state. Nosia, Chataya, I, the Lord, forgive sin defined as those wrongful deeds that are inadvertently committed. I forgive them. Naku, the 13th one, I, the Lord, will not cancel punishment, but I will clear the guilty for those who genuinely return to me in Teshuva. In other words, you may have to pay for some of the things you did, even though God forgives you.
Yes, sir.
That's what it said. That's the 13th one.
Yes.
These 13 traits are characteristics of the Lord Yahweh, traits of the becoming Father. Man of God Moses was on Mount Sinai, the sixth ascent, for 40 days and 40 nights, from Elul 1 to Tishrei, Yom Kippur, and Day of Atonement. Exodus 34:28, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread nor drink water, 40 days, 40 nights. And he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant and the Ten Commandments. When man of God Moses came back down off the mountain on 10 Tishrei, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, his face was glowing with the glory of God. Exodus 34:29, it came to pass, and he had been up there with Elul, coming from Elul, you hear me? And it came to pass when man of God Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, Exodus 34:29-30, with two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, that he came down from the mount, that man of God Moses wished not that his skin face shone while he talked with him. He didn't know he was shining. He didn't know. Started talking to him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw man of God Moses, the skin on his face shone, they were afraid, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. God had forgiven his people, and all was restored. After 40 days of Teshuvah, God accepted their repentance. Exodus 34:31, and man of God Moses called on them, and Aaron and all that the rulers of the congregation, and returned unto man of God Moses to talk with him. They did. And afterwards, all the children of Israel came nigh, Exodus 34:32, and he gave them commandment of all that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. So it came to a point that they could approach him. He called the people there, and he said, God has forgiven you of your sin. The people were unified with God, set back on the right track. What? At the end of Elul. The people were unified with God, set back on the right track. They received the words and commandments of the Lord, and they immediately made preparations to begin to build the tabernacle. Let's build the house of God, so that God could come and dwell in their midst. So the incident of the repentance of Israel after the golden calf, Exodus 32, is the origin of Teshuvah during the month of Elul.
Yes,
it's the origin of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, like what Jesus finally came and did for us when God received Israel back to himself.
Yes,
it's the perfect example of repenting and returning to God so that he accepts us and we'll move. He'll move forward with us and be with us and dwell among us. You see?
Yes, sir.
Now, there are other instances of Elul 1 called to repentance. One is Prophet Jonah entered Nineveh on Elul 1, 763 B.C. Think about that. Prophet Jonah, month of Elul, when he entered Nineveh, crying, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Elul 1. And Jonah 3 and 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed, shall be overthrown. God told him to say that. 40 days from Elul 1 would end up at Yom Kippur, Great Day of Atonement, when God would have sealed Nineveh's state. God's going to seal it. You see that? You see it? Elul, Rosh Hashanah, in Great Day of Atonement, God will seal Nineveh's state. God overturned Nineveh's judgment due to their repenting and their returning to God, their teshuvah, repent and return. Jonah 3, 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat with ashes. Here's prophet Jonah coming into Nineveh, and he proclaims that here he comes. And even the king was stirred and convicted. Jonah 3, 6, then 7, 8, 9, and he caused it to be proclaimed, the king did, throughout all Nineveh, here's the king, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, hear that? Let neither man nor beast, herd or flock taste anything, let them not eat bread nor drink water. Declare the fast upon the whole nation. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, cry mightily unto the Lord. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is violence is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, the king said, and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Well, on the first day of Elul, to then, this king is so stirred. Prophet Jonah goes in preaching it, repent. This place is going to be overturned. It gripped the king so much that he could convince them until he called a total fast for every one of them, repenting in sackcloth, and God turned it and spared Nineveh. Hallelujah. Are you here?
Yes.
On the first day of Elul, God the Son Jesus was driven out into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. So on the first day of Elul, God the Son Jesus was driven out into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. From Elul 1 to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's the same 40-day period. Elul is 30 days. And then you got 10 more days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. It was a divine required appointment to God the Son. The Holy Ghost drove him out into the wilderness. The Holy Ghost drove him out into the wilderness. Luke 4:1, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And immediately the Spirit of God driveth him into the wilderness. Mark 1:12. 1:13, Mark, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days and tempted of Satan and was with the wild beast and the angels ministered unto him.
Yes,
Jesus came walking back into the town on Yom Kippur.
Right.
Driven into the wilderness. Elul 1. You got it?
Yes, sir.
He comes back into the city, walks back into town on Yom Kippur, the great day of atonement, the 40 days, full of victory and full of the power of God and the authority of God. Now, Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Praise God. Amen. How many believe this is important? How many see the seriousness of the month of Elul, Yom Kippur, Teshuvah, also Passover, Pentecost, everything we do, you know, the whole thing, what Jesus brought in, the whole deal. The great American eclipse of 2017 began on Elul 1. The great American eclipse of 2017 began on Elul 1. In 2017, there was a widely publicized eclipse that traveled across the entire United States. It came across the whole United States, from west to east. Everything used to take place from east to west, but this was from west to east. It's like backwards. Visible in totality across 14 states. So this great eclipse on 2017 began on Elul 1, the first day of Elul. It came from, listen, Oregon through Idaho, Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, and South Carolina. It exited in South Carolina. Visible in some dimensions to the entire United States. There was some people everywhere could see something. Traveled across only the United States, no other nation. President Trump had just been inaugurated 8 months before January of 2017. He immediately began to pass different legislations that were very favorable to Christianity and to Judaism, to God's laws and to more righteous way of living. There hadn't been a total solar eclipse that passed over the United States and no other countries since 1776, the year of the Revolutionary War when America got its independence. In seven of the states, the eclipse traveled across the United States, which laid in the direct path of totality, meaning in the range where people would see the sun 100% darken, not just partly darken. Seven of these states were named Salem. Salem. Salem, which is the word for Jerusalem. Seven of these states were named Salem, which laid right in the path of totality. Salem, Oregon. Salem, Idaho. Salem, Wyoming. Salem, Nebraska. Salem, Missouri. Salem, Kentucky. And Salem, South Carolina. In fact, some authors and reporters even had called this eclipse the Seven Salem Eclipse.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
They call it the Seven Salem Eclipse. Salem, of course, is the ancient name for Jerusalem, the city of God, the capital of the world, where Shem, Melchizedek, reigned from. Genesis 14:18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. When God created first man Adam, he stood up. His feet were in Jerusalem, in Salem. When God created first man Adam, when he stood up, his feet were in Salem, in Jerusalem. That's where his feet were. Stood up right in Salem, right in Jerusalem. Are you hearing that?
Yes, sir.
Jerusalem is the foundational stone of the whole world.
Yes, sir.
Jerusalem is the foundation stone of the whole world. And of course, the central Adamah of Judaism and Christianity and the Bible, where Jesus was crucified, where he was buried and resurrected from the dead. At the very minute, and it started in Salem in Oregon, remember? At the very minute the great American eclipse was passing over the city of Salem, Oregon, right at that beginning of the eclipse coming into the United States, it's the beginning of the eclipse, at the exact same minute, the sun was setting in Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
At the exact time that this great American eclipse in 2017 was passing, starting off, going through Oregon, Salem, Oregon, coming into the United States there, at that same time, the sun was setting in Jerusalem. The path of this great American eclipse began on the west coast, Oregon, and traveled eastward and exited South Carolina.
Right.
But then it exited the United States at the port city of Charleston, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Charleston, South Carolina, one of the oldest cities in the United States, important port city, a famous entry and gateway into our nation.
That's right.
The nickname of Charleston is the Holy City. Because it of its deep religious heritage and its many, many churches that are there.
Yes, sir.
Do you hear it?
Yes, sir.
The Great American Eclipse of 2017 was a direct call from God to the nation of America to turn back,
yes,
as seen by the solar eclipse having backward motion,
yes, sir,
from the west to the east,
yes, sir,
instead of taking the sun's moral path from the east to the west. God was saying, he started with, turn back. I'm going through Salem, so-and-so, Salem, so-and-so, Salem, so, each state's a Salem. Turn back. Go back to the roots, is what he was saying. Go back to the roots of the foundation of the world, Jerusalem, Salem. To God's establishment, go back to God's establishment of the Bible, to Judeo-Christian heritage, to founded peaceful, to Melchizedek, Father, Son, Apostolic Order. God's cry went forth over seven Salems, as the path of the solar eclipse passed over seven different states in the United States. God was saying sevenfold, turn back, return to Salem, 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 turn back, return to Salem. Seven cities, seven states. He was saying seven times, return back to Salem. God was crying to America, turn back the clock, turn back time. Turn back the nation, make America great again. Turn back to your roots and foundation. Turn back to Christianity and Judeo-Christian values. Turn back to apostolic Melchizedek order ministry. Turn back to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And this eclipse of 2017 took place on the first day of the month of Elul. The sun was setting in Jerusalem when the eclipse was beginning in America. Because he was saying, I want you to return to where the sun is setting. Go back to all that. This was a national screaming plea from God. This was a national screaming plea from God to the nation of America to do teshuvah, repent and return. Repent and return, 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 sevenfold. Seven Salem, seven states of Salem. taking place on Elul of 2017. Conclusion, to wrap it up, we have entered into the month of Elul for our year of 2025. Season of Teshuvah, time to repent and return. Time to prepare yourself before God. Time to prepare yourself before God for Rosh Hashanah, the new year, Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, Great Day of Atonement, you see? We must do this all the time. I do it all the time. But this is a special established set apart time that God chose for this to take place on a yearly basis. Amen. The entire month of Elul is a time to evaluate yourself. Yes. Elul is the final month of the year when God is saying, how are you doing? How are you going to finish out this year? How are you going to finish out this year? How are you going to make anything right that needs to be made right? How are you going to increase me in ministry of this year? How are you, God said, how much are you going to increase me in ministry this year? The month of Elul leads up to Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year. As the Jews teach, the Bible points to many times on Rosh Hashanah. It is written on Yom Kippur, it is sealed. What you have done during Elul is written. 10 days later, come on somebody, Yom Kippur, it is sealed. God seals it. It's never the time to make wrong decisions in God. Never a time. It is sure not the time now to make wrong decisions in God. We desperately need for God to show himself strong on our behalf as the Jewish New Year begins. We need to beg him for his mercy, faith, and by trust believe him. We need to beg him for his guidance and protection. We need to beg him for his will and his work, for his daily ministry to be accomplished all the time. Yes, we must repent and return to God, to everything about God in your personal being in life, to all God-given ones, Adelphus, to all God-assigned relationships and beings, to all God-assigned tasks and projects. And we need God's help more than ever before in this perilous time that we're in now. I personally, every day of my life, live the month of Elul. I do all the time. You better live in an Elul all the time. We must repent and return to God, right? Not only return in repentance, return in prayer. Return in communing with God. My God, I've got to have God. I've got to have God all the time myself. All the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rababakata, Yaleme Shikibi Yabagata. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateas Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of his truth and a deeper level of relationship with himself.